We are in our Jonah series, and we are in part three. If you have missed, don't feel like you've missed anything. Well, you have missed stuff. But I'll catch you up, okay? And if you want to get very caught up, you can go and possibly listen to these sermons. But I know some of you are like, I can't handle much more of you. But today, we're in chapter three of the book of Jonah, and I want to show you my favorite verse from the entire book of Jonah. It's right here. Chapter 3, verse 1. Do you want to hear it? Then the Lord came to Jonah a second time. How many are thankful that we serve a God of second chances? Amen? The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. All right? How many? Before we dive into chapter 3, I just want to review to catch those people up that weren't here, in case they weren't here the first 2 weeks. We've been in the book of Jonah. We read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. That's how he started out. Chapter 1. Go to Nineveh, preach to the people. Did he say yes or no? He said no. He went the opposite direction, and as we learned, he went as far as he possibly could in the opposite direction. Right? This is like, go to the Maritimes. No, I'm going to go to BC. Okay? Little geography for you, okay? This is what he did. I'm going to go the opposite direction. Got in the boat sailing for Tarshish. When he was in the boat, God sent a big storm. Again, God sent a big storm in the boat. The sailors thought they were all going to die, so they didn't want to die, but they didn't want to, but they ended up throwing Jonah overboard. What does it say? Storm stopped. Woo. And then we got to last week. The Lord provided a big fish. Again, the Lord provided a big fish to swallow Jonah. What we all see, like, take yourselves out of, I've went to Sunday school as a kid, okay? Right? We know the end of the story, that was a good thing. The Lord provided a fish to eat Jonah. This is a big problem. But guess what? What we see as a problem, God sees as provision. That's what we learned last week. The Lord provided the fish to swallow up Jonah. And in the belly of the fish, he prays. And we read last week what he prayed and that he prayed. And the Lord heard his prayer. But did the Lord answer his prayer right away? No. 3 days, three nights. He's waiting. And we learned the principle last week that while we're waiting, God is still working. Which is incredible news for those of you that have been praying for a long time. Is there anyone in here that's been praying for something specific for a long time? Right? This is good news. Pray. God is still working, even when we're not seeing any results. When you pray, God hears your prayer. Even if you don't see anything, it doesn't mean God's not doing anything while you're waiting. God is still working. And then last week, we ended with the last verse of chapter 2, which says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I feel like we could have used different language, but I think it's gross. Anytime you talk, anybody can't even be around it, right? Like, I've got four boys. I got initiated by Cooper into being a dad when I was playing with him in our dorm room, right? We had a kid in a dorm room at Bible college, and I'm playing with him like this, right? 1 week old. My face. But you know what? I didn't drop him. So... but here's the thing, the fish vomits Jonah onto dry land, okay? So it wasn't clean. The fish, he's on shore, he's alive, but he's a mess. His salvation maybe is like some of yours, right? It's not clean. There's bumps, there's bumps along the way. I was about to say chunks. No, but he's there, he's alive, he survived, but it's messy. This is, and chapter 3 starts with my favorite verse, and chapter 3 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. We serve a God that doesn't just call, but he also calls back. You have those people that don't call back, right? God's not one of those people. Because just like Jonah, you couldn't save yourself. He couldn't save himself, and we couldn't save ourselves. Titus 3 verse 5 says this, God saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Because we serve a compassionate God. Because we have a God of grace. Because we have a God that calls back. We serve a God of second chances. And there is not a single person that's ever been saved by their own righteousness. I've met some people who think this, that they're going to do enough good things that they'll never sin. What are you talking about? We all need God's grace each and every day. We need to be thankful that he is merciful and compassionate. Especially pastors. Right, Dad? Yeah, thank you. Amen. We are saved by the grace of Jesus, the risen Christ, and we can thank God that everyone, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how dark your life is, it doesn't matter if you come up to me tonight and say, you don't know where I was, I don't care. We serve a God of second, third, fourth chances. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is in many ways the story of the Bible, right? From Genesis to Revelation. We serve a God of second chance. I'll show you some highlights and just let it just sink in. There's a lot to look at, but because God is a gracious God, right? If we can move to these are some examples we pulled out. Okay, Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, but God displayed grace and made a covering for them. Moses murdered a man. Murdered. A lot of people say, well, I haven't murdered anybody. Moses murdered a man, but God displayed grace and still used him to free Israel. David committed adultery, then committed murder to cover it up. Anyone still saying, at least I haven't murdered anybody? David murdered and then adultery. These are two of the big ones, right? Those are the big sins. And then when he repented, God forgave him and still called David what? A man after his own heart. What? Okay. Rahab, she lived as a prostitute, but God displayed grace and used her to help protect the spies and redeemed her in the lineage of our Savior. She's listed. You know how my great, 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 yeah, Jesus, Rahab's in his lineage. Zacchaeus, he was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in to see what he could see. He was a corrupt tax collector. That was just a little fun for those that grew up in Sunday school. I know now who grew up in Sunday school. Right? He's a corrupt tax collector. He stole from people. He was greedy, but God displayed grace. And Jesus came to his home for dinner, forgave his sins, made him new. Peter, we could go on and on. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, said, I don't even know him. And what is Jesus? Upon this rock, I will build my church. That's Peter, after he denied Jesus. And then Thomas doubted Jesus. Like, he was deconstructing his faith before people were deconstructing their faith. Like, he doubted. But our God is a good God of second chances. Our God displayed grace and met Thomas in his doubts. He said, touch and see. He didn't say, why don't you believe? No, he said, touch and see. He met Thomas in his doubts. Verse 2 of Jonah 3. We just move along. Get up, Jonah. You just were vomited onto dry land. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I've given you. This is two chapters after the initial call, right? This is at least, like, he spent 3 days and three nights in the fish. So, like, we're talking probably 5 days, right? Remember, I told you, you know what you got to do. I gave you the message. The word in Hebrew for get up and go here that's used literally means go now, go immediately, or go today. There's urgency. The first time the word of the Lord came to Jonah, he ran from God. This time, what does he do? Verse 3 tells us that he obeyed. Verse 3 and 4, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. I'm told, historian, 120,000 people lived in Nineveh. Jonah began by going on a day's journey into the city, proclaiming dot, dot, dot. Now, what comes after the dot, dot, dot is the sermon that he gave to them. I just want to give a little preamble before we get into the sermon that he gave to them, because I want to recognize where we are. He is one man in enemy territory. His life is in danger. He hated them, right? They hated him. He didn't want to be there. He didn't like them. He probably thought, there's no way they're going to hear this message. There's no way. And so he preaches. Now, this is just a little advice from someone who's done this for a few years now. If you're going to preach a message, you know, start with a joke. Get the people on your side. Right? I suggest it often do a little opener, something creative to get the people's attention. Jonah does not do this. Let me show you what he did. Scripture says he went on 1 day's journey proclaiming, here's the sermon, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He's walking through the city saying this, 40 more days, Nineveh will be overthrown. That's a sermon. That's what he said. He probably said more. We don't have any record of it, but we know he said 40 more days. God's going to destroy all of you. What an encouraging message. But why is he saying this? Why is he doing this? Well, that's what God told him to say. That's what God told him to say. Go tell him, tell them the message I'm proclaiming. If you don't repent, then you don't get to stay here. That's what God told him to say. He's probably thinking, that's dumb. These people hate God. They hate me. They're not going to listen. There's no way this is going to work. Right? Like some of you right now, you have someone. You are a follower of Jesus. And you have someone in your life. You have someone, right, that you think there is no way. There is no way they will ever meet the grace and the love of Jesus. They're just not open to it. Maybe you've been friends with them for years, and it's just closed door. Don't bring it up around me, they'll say. We can talk about anything you want, right? Religion and politics, leave it at the door. Someone in your life, they're so far from God, there's no way they would ever turn from their sins, surrender their lives to Jesus. And I want to say specifically to you, never underestimate what God might be doing in someone's life, behind the scenes, right? Don't underestimate what the Holy Spirit might be doing in someone's life, right? I'll take something from my dad. The first question you often ask people is, who is praying for you, right? Because oftentimes there's a great aunt, there's a grandma, right? There's someone praying for you. There's someone praying for these people, and maybe God's using you as an answer to their prayer. Never underestimate what the Holy Spirit is doing in someone's life. You might have someone right now that you love. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's one of your kids. There's no way. I just feel like there's no way they're ever going to come back. Don't give up hope. Because Jonah preached this very short, very blunt, no illustrations, like they didn't laugh. And what happened? Jonah 3, verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. That's the whole word right there. The Ninevites, they believed God. Now I'm emphasizing this, believed God. There's a difference between believing in God and actually believing God. Some of you right now, you just believe in God. Well, of course I believe in God. I'm like at church right now. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't believe in God. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you believe God. Because James said this, James 2, 9, you believe that there's one God, good, even the demons believe that, right? Even the demons believe in God. Believing in God is different. Some of you here, the problem is you believe in a loving God, but you don't believe that God truly loves you. You believe in a loving God, but you don't believe that God loves you. Or you believe in a God that answers prayer, but you don't have the faith that or belief that he'll answer your prayers. Well, that's for the real Christians. That's for the Christians that get microphones on Sundays. God answers no. Or you believe that God will save the lost, but you don't think that God will save that person you're praying for. Don't just believe in him, believe him. And believe his promises. Don't just believe that God can, but believe that our God will. Right? Oh yeah, we read the stories. We know he can. He's done it. But do we believe that he will? Don't just believe that God can, but believe that God, our God, will. He can and will do, what does it say, abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. The Ninevites believed God. Moving on, a fast was proclaimed. A fast was proclaimed right away. And all of them, that's what it says, 120,000 people, all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, got off his throne. He's the king. He got off his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Do you understand how big of a... The king got off his throne and said, I'm not the king. I'm taking off my robe. I'm no longer the king of Nineveh. The Ninevites believed God. This evil pagan king stepped away from the throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself in sackcloth, saying, God, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. In humility, he removed himself from the throne. In a similar way, there may be someone here, it's time for you to take yourself off the throne of your life. You've been trying to steer this ship for, 32 years. For some of you, maybe a little more. But you might need to say, I'm no longer the Lord of my life. And I'm going to turn away from my sins and turn towards God. The word in the Bible is the word repent, which we hear a lot in church. Few people know this word, turn away. That's all it means. Repent from your, turn. Do something different. Stop doing what you're doing. But it means we're turning away from our sins. We're grieving from our sins. And in verse 8, scripture says this. Jonah 3, verse 8, let everyone call urgently on God. Let everyone call urgently. Call on God now. You need him now. Call on him now. Call on God. Don't sit around. Don't wait until you feel like it. Don't wait until you get the candles lit and that's when I pray in my little... No, Call on God now. Some of you right now, if I could just say, you're putting off fully, completely calling on God. I'm going to wait until I get older. I remember saying this. Well, if God's so merciful, I'm going to have some fun while I'm a teenager, right? I can call on God when I'm old, right? You don't have to admit to this. It's fine. I know you did it. I'm going to finish adulting before, and then life gets serious. And then I get married one day, or maybe when we have, or maybe then I'll call on God, you know, when I really need him. You need him now. We all need God right now, right here, right now. You need his grace now. And if you don't feel like you need his grace now, you really need his grace now. Is that not true? You need his power now. You need his mercy now. You need his Holy Spirit now. You need his love now. You need his strength. You need him now. The king said, call on him now. Again, pagan, evil king. This is how quickly it happened. Jonah said, there's no way they're ever going to listen. The king gets off his throne, takes off his robes, and says, call on God. To truly repent is to change your mind so deeply it changes you completely. I'll say that again. To truly repent is to change your mind so deeply, it changes you completely. I'm going to play a little game that's a little dangerous. If I were God, I'm not. I'm not saying I am. Everybody should be glad I'm not God. If I'm God and they're repenting, the Ninevites, I might say, let's give this 6 months, right? Let's see if they're for real, right? Maybe a year. Yeah, let's give them a year. See how long they stick with it. I've seen my kids after they say, I'm sorry, right? Doesn't take long till they do the exact same thing again, right? If I'm God, I'm saying, prove it. Let's see if it lasts. I mean, I want to see if you really mean it. I'm going to give you a year to see if you're on good behavior. Because I'm not going to just going to let you turn one little day and then tell me you mean business. I want to see it. If I were God, that's what I'd do. I'm not. It's not what he does. Jonah 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Did God just change his mind? I think he did. People repenting from their sins, calling on God, he relented. They turned. And so he relented and didn't bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. I love this. Whenever they were repented, God relented, right? We see this all throughout scripture. People turning back to God and God saying, okay. Whenever they turned to him, God took back from his threat to destroy them and he showed them compassion. In the very same way that when you mess up again, how many of you have a mess up again story? Nobody wants to. Oh, one hand. Okay, thank you. Right? I'm never, ever going to do that again. Right? And then you do it. It's okay. Well, it's not okay. Right? You don't have to. You can just. Right? Don't. All the other people can just polish your halo and sit there. I mean, I'm talking about the real people today who have that thing, right? You do it. God, I'm never going to cuss again. I'm never going to, right? Blah, blah, right? You know, I'm not going to yell at my kids ever again. I would never do that. No, I'm just God, I'm not going to listen to those negative voices ever again. And then all of a sudden you get sucked into the, God, I'm not going to be hateful. I'm not going to be critical. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look at that thing I'm not supposed to look at again. I'm not going to be mean to my spouse ever again. But here's great news. When you mess up, the word of the Lord will come to you again. Get up. Go do what I told you to do. And the word of the Lord comes to you again. And God shows compassion to you. In fact, here's one of my favorite scriptures in all of scripture, Isaiah 30. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Do you get that? He longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. Isn't that so opposite from what we grew up thinking about God? He longs to be gracious to you. That's not the picture of God that I had in my head growing up. I had a picture of God up sitting over, well, he's going to mess up. Watch. He's going to mess up. No, that's my own sinful human mind, because that's what I would do. I'd be sitting there guessing when people are going to mess up. Yeah, that's right. I do it. But look what God's, the Lord longs. He desires to. He wants to. He longs to show you compassion. He's not like going, hey, I'm going to catch him doing something wrong. No, he's longing to show grace to you. He wants to show you his compassion. He wants you to feel it when you turn from him. When you repent, he relents. He shows you compassion. And maybe as believers, we need to start getting into a little bit of this. Because I don't know about you. I know the world's gone crazy. But we as Christians, this is God's character. Compassion, mercy, grace. We're so quick. I'll include those people, right? We separate them. Those people are so far from God. And we say that. He longs to be gracious to you. The word of the Lord is coming to someone again today. And the question is this: what is God trying to show you? What is God saying to you? What message is he sending your way? Just ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit, talk about it, right? What are you trying to say to me? Where are you sending me? What is God trying to show you? Here's what I've discovered in my own life, in years of walking with God and his good. I found that it's usually one of two things God's trying to show me. It's either a sin he's trying to save me from, or an opportunity he's trying to call me to. When Holy Spirit is revealed, it's either a sin he's trying to save me from, or an opportunity he's trying to call me to. And you say, God, what are you saying to me today? What is the Lord trying to show you? And the good news for you is this, but that the word of the Lord is coming to you again. You might say, I've heard this before, right? I've heard God say this before, and I've told him no. Well, the word of the Lord's coming to you again. Second time, third time, however many times. But here's the truth. Every chance from God demands a choice from you. Some of you, you've brushed him off. You've taken him for granted. He's coming to you again. Some of you, you are close to God and you've drifted from him and he's coming to you again. Some of you in this place have never been close. Maybe you've never really known him. You've never even really considered it. You've thought about it. You kind of flirt with it. Like, yeah, it would be cool to be close to God. He's coming to you again. We serve a God of second chances. He doesn't just call, he calls back. And maybe God is calling you again today. Please think about the compassion of our good God. He didn't give up on Jonah. When Jonah turned his back on God, he didn't give up on the Ninevites. He didn't give up on the sailors, right? These were all sinners. He didn't give up on the king who was evil and wicked. God didn't give up on God hasn't given up on you. Do you remember the list of second chances I showed you at the beginning? Right? Adultery, murder, right? There was a prostitute in there. Right? God hasn't given up on you. I guarantee it. If you feel ashamed or stuck in the same old sin, the word of the Lord is coming to you again. If you're far away from God and you feel like you've lost all hope, you've been too bad. I hear this all the time. I've been too bad. The word of the Lord is coming to you again. And if you think for a moment after what I've done and who I've hurt or how dark, how bad my sin is and how much I've hurt people, remember this, and this is what we'll leave with this morning, that God's grace is greater than your greatest sin. God's grace is greater than your greatest sin. There's no but here. There's no, yeah, but you don't know. No, no. Signed, sealed, delivered. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He washed us white as snow. There's nothing we can do to add to grace. There's nothing you can do to subtract from grace. It's once paid. Jesus paid it all. I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you that you are a good God. I thank you that I am not God, because I would mess this whole thing up. I thank you that you long to be compassionate to us. You long to be gracious to us. I thank you that you relent when people repent. So God, as you're speaking to each one of us today, as your Holy Spirit comes, maybe not in this second, but throughout the day, throughout the week, God, are you trying to show me a sin you're trying to save me from, or an opportunity you're trying to call me to? Would we listen? Maybe it's an old call. Maybe it's something we heard years ago. God, would your word come to us a second time? And would we get up and go? And God, maybe we put ourselves in other parts of the story. Maybe Ninevites, maybe the king, maybe the sailors. God, whatever it is, wherever we are in our faith journey, God, I pray that we would call on you, that we would turn to God, that we would repent from our sins, and we know that you will forgive us because you are good, you are compassionate, you love us, and you long to do it. You're waiting for us to do it. God, would we live in that freedom that we don't need to live life fearing of a trip, fearing a slip up, God. But your grace, your mercy, it's when we mess up, because we will, that you are right there to pick us up. And you don't say, keep doing what you're doing. You say, repent, turn, do something else. Do something that honors God. We thank you that you are faithful. And you are just. God, I pray for each person in this room. God, that those that have been Christians 50 years and those that maybe have not even made that decision yet, I pray that we would all call on the name of the Lord. We thank you that you hear us this morning. Be with us as we go from this place. Be with us. Guide us. Protect us. Bring people into our path we get to share the love of Jesus with. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.